The Super Speedway Podcast is a Dream Bigger Media production. For news, photos, show notes, and information about advertising on the podcast, visit www.thesuperspeedway.com.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 141 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Wednesday, February 19th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, it's been an eventful 3 days or so.
I'm glad that we can start the podcast on a chipper note today, since we're recording Wednesday evening, because on Monday, I was not looking forward to doing the podcast.
No.
I'm telling you that right now. That was the first time since we've started this podcast that I literally said to my wife, I don't want to do the podcast. It was just crazy.
Yeah, I was preparing to be like, okay, how do we do this? Do we just not do one this week or what do we do?
I didn't know what to do. But Ryan Newman is tough as nails, man, because he's out.
Yeah, don't screw with Ryan Newman, I'll tell you. Who was it that got in a fight with or tried to get in a fight with him last year?
There's a lot of people who've tried to fight him.
Like, I would not mess with him, man. I was already scared of Newman. I'm really scared of Newman now.
Yeah.
So, obviously, if you've been living under a rock, which I'm assuming everybody knows what happened to Ryan Newman, it was all over all the media. Of course, gets in the last lap wreck, straightaway wreck at Daytona. He basically got hit. Let's just call this, there's only about two things that could have happened that could have made this situation any worse. And that would have been like top of the car into the fence or that the fuel caught on fire that was pouring out of the back of his car. I mean, he got T-boned at 195 miles an hour right in the driver's window, upside down. Just horrific accident.
With a car that was already compromised from hitting the wall.
Too. Yeah, like in not only hitting the wall, but hitting the wall with the driver's side of the car.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, it just, and then the time that it took to get him out of the car, they brought out the screens to block it off from the fans, which for the record, the screens did a horrible job of blocking anything.
Well,
off.
The stands are so freaking tall at Daytona. But you know, when I saw the screens, Eric, when I saw that, my heart sank.
Oh yeah, me too.
When you see the tarp or the screens in auto racing, that mm-hmm. is a telltale sign that that driver's not coming out of there.
Well, you know, I was worried in the first place because so the car not only does it get hit in the window, it then comes down on the window, slides along the window with flames and sparks through the cockpit, and I mean, slid 200 yards before it came to a stop, and then the crew comes over and they look in the passenger side window. And like, it was that no urgency of either something is really, really bad or he's fine. And once we flip this thing over, he's just going to jump out. And when he didn't just jump out, it seemed like a foregone conclusion what we were going to expect.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, James, you're younger than I am. I wasn't obviously covering the sport or anything. I was younger, but you know, I certainly remember 2001 when Earnhardt was killed.
Yep, I do as well.
I mean, this all felt so much like that, and just I mean, everybody was just in shock at the track. It was silent. But then we find out that night we get the announcement from Steve O'Donnell a couple hours after the wreck. Go back to the wreck. I think the best sign that I saw at the track was how fast the ambulance was moving.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, the Earnhardt ambulance was pretty slow. And this one was booking it to the hospital. So that was a good sign that at least they're in a rush for some reason. And then, you know, we get the announcement a couple hours later that he's in serious condition, but he has non-life-threatening injuries. And that's awesome. I mean, we
could all go to bed.
Yeah. No, you know, still freaked out. Didn't know what the injuries were. Still didn't know what to expect. And then today we find out he's up walking around. And then a little while later, there's a picture of him standing with his girls. And then there's a video of him walking out of the hospital and he's released.
Yeah. We were watching this miracle in real time today. I was messaging, you and our buddy Todd, friend of the pod, we were in constant communication the night of the 500, yeah. And then it's almost like we watched this miracle happen in real time, because we were messaging each other today. You know, he's up. Right. He's standing. Because I had assumed, you know, it's shame on me for assuming anything at all. But, I mean, God, the guy went from we think he's gone right. to he's probably paralyzed. Right. I don't know what to expect. And all of a sudden he's walking around. And then today I messaged you and Todd because I saw it on Twitter. I said, hey, he's out.
Yeah.
He's out. What incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe.
What a testament. You know, I want to make sure that we talk about this really briefly. What a testament to the safety of these NASCAR race cars. I work in a building where we don't have a lot of auto racing fans. You know, I'm one in a couple. But I told people, I said, any other form of auto racing you can think of, that same contact with the driver's side window upside down, and nobody walks out of there.
No.
And only in NASCAR can somebody survive that horrific accident and walk out of a hospital 2 days later.
Right.
It's incredible. It's truly a miracle.
And to be fair, we still don't know. We have no idea what Newman's injuries are.
Yeah. He's obviously. Yeah, there's speculation. We don't have to talk about it. But
right. He's obviously not going to be in the car this weekend. They've announced that Ross Chastain is going to drive the sixth car this weekend. Roush Fenway has announced that there is no timeline for Ryan's return.
Take your time.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know. We know he walked out. There's video of him walking out. He looks normal, but I mean, he's moving a little slow, but I mean,
he's smiling.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't know.
And to his girls. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know at this point, but obviously he's in way better shape than anybody imagined he would be. So, yeah, the safety of these things is just amazing that, you know, we've seen some really horrific accidents, and, I would argue that this was, I mean, this and Austin Dillon's wreck were both on the level of the worst I've ever seen. I think this one takes the cake just with the impact and where it was.
Yeah, this one, Austin Dillon, Michael McDowell at Texas comes to mind. That one was pretty nasty. That's going back to the previous generation car, but still safety in mind. Another one that doesn't get mentioned a lot is the Elliott Sadler at Pocono.
Oh yeah. Remember that one? Everybody forgets about that one because there's not very good video of it.
Yeah, and that is one of the worst accidents according to, you know, what is it, G rating or whatever they call it. Yeah. That they've ever had, hardest impact they've ever had. So, we talked about that before we did the pod. We're glad we're doing this on Wednesday. We have so much more information now than we did Monday night.
Yeah.
So,
we can actually talk a little bit about the race and stuff and, you know, analyze things a little bit differently. Cause you know, you don't want to talk about the wreck a whole lot when, or speculated who's going to drive the car and all that stuff when you don't know the condition of the guy.
Had a good, you know, you and I had a really good conversation. I felt like last week after the clash.
Yeah.
And you know, I was pretty agitated about these guys blocking and the safety of these cars. And I had gone on a whole rant, and man, thinking back on that now, knowing what we know now, I don't even know. Like I just have my hands up because we've been through such a gauntlet this last week and a half. I don't even know where to, you know, where to put a period on this thing.
Well, let's burn through a couple of these things real quick first, and then we'll talk about that a little bit. Okay. So Newman's going to miss this weekend. It's his first race missed since he began full-time competition in 2002. Yes. James had it in the notes. He wasn't sure how many. I did the math.
657.
649 because he didn't run full seasons. Before. So 649 in a row is where Newman's tally stops. Yep. Basically Daytona 500 2002 was the start of that streak. So, again, Ross Chastain driving the sixth car this weekend, great opportunity for Ross Chastain to once again, put himself in front of the crowd and
halfway decent ride. Not the best funded team in the sport, but
it's the best cup ride he's been in.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yep.
So, and it's, for I mean, sure. it's a car that for was, sure. It was what, a couple hundred feet away from winning the Daytona 500, so.
Mm-hmm. Right, a playoff car.
Yep.
From last year. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yep.
So let's talk about this, James. Last week we both had a lot to say about the blocking and we've talked about this aero package. We've talked about things. with this is obviously if Newman would have been killed, there would be probably a lot more discussion along the lines of what do we need to change. Obviously the fact that he survived and is for the most part in pretty good condition, that speaks a lot to the safety and makes it seem like maybe there isn't anything to be changed. Where do you stand on it, James? Like, what do you, I know you're not a fan of the restricted plate racing. I know you're not a fan of the bunched up packs, and I'll clarify that I do like this style of racing, but I don't like the fact that when one guy spins out, the whole field is done.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case here. That is not what happened in this wreck. We already had cleaned out most of the field. There were only a couple cars left.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that applies here, but we can still discuss it. Yeah. What are your thoughts? Is there a change that needs to be made here, or is this just something that happens?
I think if anything, NASCAR will find a way to slow these cars down for these three remaining races that we're going to have with this current package.
Right.
Because next year it's all out the window. We're starting from scratch.
Exactly.
I don't think, NASCAR, man, we've all seen it. You've tweeted about it as well, comparing the Kyle Busch accident. I thought that was an interesting viewpoint on
that.
Yeah,
so NASCAR man determined he used basically footage and speeds that they had and time the cars to determine that they are about 12 miles an hour faster now than they were back in 2009 when Kyle... I mean, if you look at Kyle Busch's wreck, when Tony turned him, this was the same wreck. Exactly the same wreck, just Kyle didn't go upside down.
Got turned and... Yeah.
Yeah. But...
I'll defend smoke, sorry. It's okay.
Right. but his car didn't get airborne like Newman's did. And, I think the speed has a lot to do with it. But also the way that they're slowing these cars down is what it is, because the more we used to use restrictor plates to slow the cars down. We're using aero to slow them down now. Yeah. And the more you take air and say, if you push it in this direction, it creates downforce. What happens when it goes a different direction?
Yeah.
It creates lift. And that's one thing I did notice this weekend, James, and I don't know if you noticed it, I have not heard anything that NASCAR has changed anything, because my understanding is they haven't changed anything. But when cars spun around backwards this weekend, the hoods ripped off of them.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, there was a lot of turbulence underneath the cars. If you watch, you could watch the whole race and you'd see those hood flaps flopping a lot. I mean, noticeably flopping. And then when you watch the beginning of the Newman crash, you see the air get taken away from Denny Hamlin as he comes across Hamlin's hood.
Right.
And both of his flaps shoot straight up in the air. There is some serious turbulence going on. And there, not that there hasn't been in the past, but there's a lot of air getting underneath these cars.
Well, the hoods now are carbon fiber.
Yeah.
Which helps because they bend and flex more, and so that helps get the air out from under the cars. But since they switched to this carbon fiber hood, it almost seemed to me like it acted like a parachute until this weekend when they started to rip off.
Stenhouse
looked like he was in a wreck, and all he did was spin backwards.
Spin backwards, and the hood just kind of crumpled.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if that's something that they changed or not, but obviously it wasn't enough to keep Newman's car on the ground.
No. And I think one thing we should mention too, I haven't seen this, but Kyle Busch is driving a completely different shaped vehicle versus what Newman's driving now. But here nor there, speed is definitely the most important factor there. Right. You've got a car, we've talked about this many times, you've got a car shaped like an arrow that is supposed to go one direction. What happens when spin that arrow around? You don't know where it's going, right? The aerodynamics are all out of whack. So
do you think slowing them down is going to help?
I don't know.
Because I feel like we've had cars airborne at slower speeds than this.
I wish I could be Mr. Fix-It on this type of stuff and give you some answers. I'm at such a loss. I'd like to see the cars slowed down. I think that's a good place to start. But I feel like if they get backwards at 185 versus 195, it's still a good odds that they're going to flip. I mean, we almost had a flip at the early stages on Monday when William Byron went spinning through. I mean, he got airborne, and that had nothing to do really with air other than, he got up in the air because he hit some pavement. So
the way these flips happen to these tracks is so interesting, because you notice they almost always happen at the end of the race. And yeah. I think it's just because everything ratchets up so much more at the end. They're going faster at the end than any other point in the race. They're closer together. The impacts are harder. You know, when you're going 202 miles an hour, it just takes a little bit of lift. It just takes a little gap, especially when they're planting these things to the ground like they are.
You're coming to that checkered flag. You're not lifting.
No.
You know, Blaney wasn't lifting.
Mm-mm.
LaJoie wasn't lifting.
So the interesting thing about Blaney is a lot of people were criticizing. Well, I don't know if people were criticizing Blaney a whole lot. Blaney was criticizing himself. But Blaney was trying to push Newman. Blaney wasn't even trying to pass Newman.
Yeah, it's just he's coming on so hard. It's nobody's fault. Anybody who wants to put any blame on anybody for anything in this race, including giving Denny Hamlin a hard time celebrating too much.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that too.
Yeah,
because
we can touch on that in a minute. But I was just going to say, you put any blame on Blaney, LaJoie, Newman, there's no blame to be dealt out here. This is just the style of racing coming to a head.
It happened so fast. And that's the thing is this is racing. This is a dangerous sport. It's a lot safer than it used to be. Yep. No, we don't ever want to see anybody get hurt. We want to do everything we can to keep people as safe as possible. But at the same time, it's always going to be a dangerous sport.
Yes. Oh, yep.
And
yep.
So, you know, yes, a freak accident happened. Yes, it looked really scary. I guess in the end, it may not have been as scary as we thought it was. But I think rushing to a change, which NASCAR has never really been historic. I mean, even after Earnhardt was killed, they don't necessarily rush to changes. No. They take their time on stuff, and I think they will here. I don't disagree with you. I think they're going to slow the cars down.
They might have
somehow. I don't know how they're going to do that other than a bigger tapered spacer or something like that, because they can't put a bigger spoiler on them. They already have that big ass spoiler on there, as Dale Earnhardt likes to say.
Yeah, that's
which he blames the spoiler for everything, by the way.
Right. Yeah. I wanted to say one more thing too. You had mentioned how I do not like this style of racing, and I want to clarify why, just so everybody, and in case anybody doesn't. I said it last week that we knew what was going to happen with 20 laps to go in these races, and it turns into a junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling has always been that these guys feel like they're invincible.
Right.
And they're playing a video game, and they're holding onto a controller, not a steering wheel at times. And at some point, the amount of accidents and the big accidents that we have at these big tracks, eventually the odds are that something bad's going to happen.
Right.
And sure enough, I'm not trying to say, look at me, I was right all along. It's not what I'm trying to say. But, you know, we're not, like you, Eric, you said it perfectly correctly. This is a dangerous game that we play. This is not, basketball. This is not even hockey or football, which are heavy contact sports, right? This is a dangerous, we're not talking about, you know, minor concussions from time to time. We're talking about life and death from time to time.
Yep.
And we have been very fortunate since 2001 to not have any deaths in the top three series. And a lot of work and a lot of smart people have done a ton to make sure that we don't have any fatalities. And, you know, kudos to them. But still, you know, Talladega and Daytona, when it gets down to those last, you know, it turns into a survival game.
Right.
And I've never liked the odds. I hate the red flags that we have to have. You know, I feel like it dilutes the product, one. And although we had a really great finish, we had a fantastic final restart.
Too bad that the finish is so overshadowed, because just...
Yes, yes.
I mean, I didn't realize until they showed the replay of the finish
how close it really was.
Yeah. I thought Denny won it easily, but it was close. No.
Ryan Blaney is almost a Daytona 500 champion.
Yeah.
Like, that's as close as anybody has been to not – closer than even Martin Truex.
Right.
Yeah. Denny Hamlin's won the two closest 500s now.
Yeah.
So, that's just my main reasoning for, you know, why I dislike it so much. I was really upset after the clash and was pretty irritated towards the end of the 500 because I really wanted to see, you know, that race finish out. And then it turned into a parking lot.
Yeah. You know, I do like the style of racing. I enjoy the wrecks as long as nobody gets hurt. I've always been one that's been willing to admit it, unlike a lot of NASCAR fans that enjoy won't admit it. Again, don't want to ever see anybody get hurt. I was just as heartbroken for the Newman situation as everybody else was. And, you know, but I do get frustrated anymore because it used to be the big one was, you know, 10 cars were in a wreck. And now the big one is like the entire field gets wiped out. And it drives me crazy that you just, you know, this one driver spins out in front of the field. And now, you know, here's Jimmy Johnson. He's in the infield wrecked, you know, in his last Daytona 500. And he wasn't even in the pack, you know. You got the guys that were riding in the back, you know, Martin Truex Jr., these guys that sat in the back all day, and they get wrapped up into it because there's just no way to avoid it.
Yeah, it's just roulette, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain aspect of, things happen quick, and so they don't, you don't expect it, but you should have a chance to, like, not get in the wreck, you know?
Well, and I hate it for guys like Logano and especially Brad Keselowski, who ran a really great race all day, and then just because Almirola got a huge run on him and didn't hit him square,
right?
You know, his whole day is shot, and his, you know, he has to wait. He's in the Tony Stewart class of, you know, is he going to win that Daytona 500? You know, it's starting to get to that point for him. And I hate it for those guys who run so well and run such a good race that they just get wiped out at the end. And it's nobody's fault. It's just the product itself, you know, and you know, it's not Almirola's fault that he hit Brad the way he did. And
right,
you know, what's he supposed to do? Hit the brakes in front of the whole field? Because then you're gonna wad them all up anyways. So, right.
A couple more things on the Newman wreck, and then we'll actually get into the Daytona 500. First of all, Washington Post had a great story on the accident and just the fact that, you know, the NASCAR is a lot safer than it used to be, but it's still dangerous. Really good article. The link's in the show notes if you want to check it out. You do have to have a subscription to Washington Post, but you get 5 articles for free. So if you haven't gone through your articles and don't have a subscription, you should be able to read it. So that's worth checking out. One thing I find really interesting watching the replays, now that the replays are readily available, is this wreck happened right underneath the flag stand. So Newman's car is airborne, heading toward the wall underneath the flag stand. And if you watch the flagman, or flag woman, I don't know if it's a man or a woman that does the Cup Series anymore, they don't stop waving the checkered and the yellow. I mean, there's not even a flinch. There's a camera guy in the...
Probably not enough time because it's happening so fast.
I mean, nobody even budged. I'm like, holy crap. And I give them, you know, the flag stand at Daytona, I think, looks like about the heaviest duty flag stand in the Cup Series.
It's pretty wicked.
Pretty sure you could hit it with a jetliner and it wouldn't move. But still, man, just nuts. And like you said, it's probably so fast they didn't have time to react. But even like after the fact, you know, when they would have reacted, there's still no reaction. They're just in the mode of, we're going to wave the caution and finish this race out and not caring about their safety. So that's insane.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned Denny Hamlin. I want to touch on the Denny Hamlin situation. So Denny got a lot of criticism after the race for celebrating, doing donuts in the infield and getting out of his car cheering. And so the thing is first of all, Denny didn't get the word. If you haven't been following his spotter on Twitter, what's his name, James? I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, I don't have it off the top of my head. I followed the tweets, though. I've seen everything that he was saying.
So he basically went down to Newman's spotter to chat with him on the tower and didn't relay the message to Denny that there was an issue, that Denny should even be concerned. So Denny wasn't aware of it at all. And as somebody who stood on pit road at the end of these races, never at a restrictor plate track, but I've been to Daytona and you can see the way it is. You can't, where Newman's car ended up, you can't even see where it is from pit road unless you walk around the edge of it. Newman's crew probably had a pretty good view of it because they were close to the end of pit road. But you don't know what's going on. Even if you're sitting in the stands, 9 times out of 10, you don't know what's going on. You guys, when you're watching on TV, there's so much information. You have all these multiple camera angles. They've got tons of spotters. The announcers have people in their ear telling them what to say and what's going on. You don't have that luxury at the track. And so you're not aware of what the situation is. Those guys on pit road don't know what is happening. And I mean, I've been there for close finishes. I've been there for, you know, rainouts. I've been there for, you know, wrecks at the start finish line, and you just don't know. So certainly can't hold anything against Denny Hamlin. And once he realized it was an issue, he was very apologetic, and Joe Gibbs apologized as well. And
Class acts all around.
Yeah, exactly. Opinion. And, you know, again, bummer for, we said it before we started recording, bummer for Denny Hamlin, doesn't get to celebrate the 500 win. It's his third 500 win. I mean, it puts him in the history books. And fortunately for Denny, he's had a chance to celebrate two other ones before it, so don't feel too bad for him.
No, but he's fine.
Yeah, fine. But don't hate on him. Let me say, first of all, Denny didn't have a lot of fans in the stands to begin with, because if you watch the fan videos, when Newman passes Denny on the backstretch, everybody goes crazy because they don't want Denny to win this race.
Yeah.
So when Denny got booed afterwards, he probably would have gotten booed regardless. But
yeah,
he didn't do himself any favors, but it wasn't his fault.
It's not anybody's fault. No, it's what are you supposed to do, man? I don't know. It's...
Same thing with Corey LaJoie. Corey LaJoie was really beat up about the fact that he hit Newman's car. But what in the world? There's
well, you know what though? Look at Michael Waltrip celebrating the 2001 Daytona 500 before he gets word.
Yeah, nobody criticized him for
nobody
it.
Nobody ever criticized him for that.
No,
and it's when he celebrated as hard as ever. You know
exactly. And I would
which
argue
makes it even more heartbreaking.
I would argue back then it was more common for drivers to be seriously hurt and wrecked. So now it's like you wouldn't expect it at all.
Yeah.
Of course, Earnhardt's crash didn't look nearly as spectacular as Newman's did, and nobody thought there was a problem until we found out that there was.
Well, yeah, it's you know Dale Earnhardt thing, and it's you know Superman doesn't die, you know,
right?
That's,
exactly.
That's that whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Anything else to talk about here with the Newman accident before we actually talk about the race?
No, I think we. I think we've said our piece, man. I'm just happy that he it looks like he'll be behind the wheel hopefully soon.
Hopefully.
You know, I think that's the last thing on his mind. I think he wants to just – I think he's glad to probably be walking.
Well, I saw that – Sherry Pollock's tweeted that she saw him. And let me find my
tweet here. Truex is already hanging out with him.
Yeah.
Martin, picture on Twitter with him.
I thought I retweeted it.
Said he was glad to see his fishing buddy.
Yeah, I guess I didn't see it, but Newman basically said something to Sherry that now they have something in common that neither of them are supposed to be alive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
And then this
a weird. Well, you know, another weird thing about the Newman thing is just a couple days before the race, he announced that he's getting divorced with his wife.
Right.
And now his wife is by his side. You know, like what a. It's just, I mean, that's getting away from racing a little bit, but still adds to like this craziness that we've had since this whole thing went down.
Yeah. And then of course everybody's releasing their power rankings for Las Vegas. And this person handled as the Wolf of NASCAR tweets, if Ryan Newman, who hit a wall, flew in the air upside down, got hit in the head with a whole car, then walked out of the hospital 2 days later, isn't at the top of your power rankings, then your list is invalid.
Yeah. Right. He ain't wrong. Well said.
All right, so before the Newman wreck, we had the Daytona 500, James. 500 miles of, you know what, I think...
500, like 20 miles.
Yeah, exactly. It was the longest Daytona 500 in history. 209 laps, 522.5 miles was the total race length.
48 hours of racing.
Yeah. Yep. I tell you what, strange things happen when we postpone the Daytona 500 till Monday.
Yeah.
The last time was the jet dryer and... Juan Pablo. So,
yep.
But you know, I thought it was up to that wreck. And I mean, heck, we already talked about the ending was pretty exciting and a great finish to, other than the wreck. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a pretty good Daytona 500. I think
it was a good race. Yeah.
You know, we had the big wreck that took everybody out, which sucked. But aside from that, it was an entertaining race. The racing was decent. We had some different strategies throughout. And as you kind of expect at these, you know, super speedway tracks, it was a ride-along survive race for the first two segments, and then the third segment started, and it was all hell breaks loose, balls to the walls, and, you know.
Yeah, the racing from the end of stage two on was fantastic.
Yeah.
I almost forgot how angry I was after stage one because of I was really upset about the fuel mileage stuff because I'm like, here we go again. We've had the clash, and now we're fuel mileaging our way through another stage. And then the way that the teams just kind of were coasting towards the end of stage one, I was really, really angry about that. And unwarranted anger, probably. And I tweeted some stuff that I probably regret. But other than that, like you said, it was really good. It was a great 500. I actually enjoyed it being on a Monday for, you know, a little bit. I got out of work and was able to watch, and it was fantastic. Racing was excellent. I was bummed for... was bummed for William Byron early.
Yeah, especially you wait 24 hours to come back and wreck early.
Yeah, and then a lot of people going after Stenhouse again, which I saw a lot of Stenhouse or whatever. I think that was William Byron's team that even you know, or they said we got Stenhoused, which was really. So Ricky, you know, Ricky living up to expectations. He's brought those to his new team.
Yeah.
But early on, I didn't know what to, you know, there really wasn't a horse to pick.
No.
You know, that you thought was a favorite.
Well, you had so many guys riding around in the back too, that you just didn't know what we were going to get.
Yeah.
I think the one constant that we've got at these races anymore is that you can expect Denny Hamlin to be up front.
Yeah, Hamlin's going to be around. Even when he's riding in the back, he leads 80 laps.
Yep.
Ricky was actually pretty good.
He was
for the most part. Chase Elliott had a nice little string of laps that he had led, and then Ryan Newman beyond the wreck. He was up front all race, mm-hmm. like towards that last stage.
Newman's another one that you can expect to be up front at these races.
Yeah, he was just good all race long, really solid.
Yep.
And then one other guy we wanted to probably mention is Kyle Busch. We haven't talked about him yet, but mm-hmm. the bad luck bug definitely nailed him again. It's starting to, like we were talking about Brad Keselowski, it's kind of piling up now. Now it's definitely piling up for Kyle that he has zero Daytona 500s.
I saw something about Kyle too. One of the media members tweeted, I don't remember who it was, obviously in the whole Newman thing, everything kind of got lost, but I guess Kyle, you know, after he blew the motor, he stuck around afterwards. He talked to all the media. He did, you know, his stuff. He was very cordial and
yeah, he was strangely kind.
Right.
In his post-race interview, and it startled me because he was not in a bad mood for once.
Yeah, he seems like he's a different person this year, and I'm wondering how long that's going to last.
It won't last long.
I did enjoy the fact that he was asked the week before who the best driver is in the Cup Series right now.
Yeah,
he says, you're looking at him.
Yeah, I like his confidence.
Yeah.
I loved him screaming about being, they were riding around in the back.
Yeah.
And he was not happy that they were kind of losing the draft.
Uh-huh.
He's just screaming on the radio. We're forfeiting the race and all this other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I was agreeing with him. I'm like, yeah, Kyle, get up there and race, man.
Right.
I want to see you riding around in the back.
Yep. So Denny Hamlin gets his third Daytona 500, second in a row. I think you and I are already on the same page that Denny's going to the Hall of Fame, right? We already kind of.
No, he's been a lock.
He's definitely a lock now.
Yeah, he was a lock before this. Yeah. This is
No, if no he, championship if, needed here.
No championship needed. If Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a lock,
right?
Denny Hamlin was a lock. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Denny's got a better resume. So.
Definitely yep. agree. So let's talk about some guys who had, you know, strong performances, the types of things that you expect at Daytona. Denny Hamlin gets the win. We mentioned Ryan Blaney. He was second, barely.
So
close. Chris Buescher comes home with a third place finish in the 17 car.
Yeah.
David Ragan, fourth place. Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer.
My dark horse, baby, David Ragan.
Brendan Gaughan, my dark horse, who I thought was a great pick until David Ragan finished ahead of him. Brendan Gaughan gets seventh place.
Brendan Gaughan's always going to get a top 10 in the Daytona 500 when he runs.
Yeah. Actually, I think this was one of his first ones. He's usually wrecked out at the end.
Well, he's always finds his way, right? He's always in there, you know?
Yeah. He's always there.
And McDowell, you know, McDowell was really good until he got taken out in that Bowyer thing.
Yeah.
A little later in the race, but Justin Haley.
Yeah.
His average finish is still pretty good.
Right. 13th place for him. Corey LaJoie finished 8th after crashing through Newman's car. Ryan Newman finished in 9th.
Yep.
Kyle Larson finished 10th. Larson was on Dale Jr.'s podcast this week and basically said his car just wasn't fast. He thought he was going to do well. He thought he'd have a good finish because it was clean, but it just wasn't fast.
Yeah.
John Hunter Nemechek finishes 11th. Austin Dillon 12th. I mentioned Justin Haley, Michael McDowell 14th.
Yeah.
15th. Bubba Wallace, Brendan Poole 16th place.
Yeah.
And then Chase Elliott comes home 17th. He wrecks on a last lap. Any problem with NASCAR not throwing the yellow for Chase? I know that they caught some criticism for that because Newman's wreck wouldn't happen.
Yeah, that's just stupid Twitter conversation that people are just idiots, because any other time they would be screaming to keep it green. So
exactly. No. I agree.
Keep it green until you know you can't keep a driver safe.
Yep. Yeah. I agree 100%. William Byron finishes last with his wreck, 40th position. Quinn Hoff, 39th. BJ McLeod, 38th. They were in a wreck together. Cole Custer, disappointing finish for his first.
Yeah, it broke. Nothing he could do there.
Jimmy Johnson is his last Daytona 500.
You know, he had a good race though.
Yeah, he did.
Honestly, he just got caught up.
But he was there. I mean, he would have had a chance to win it if he would have made it through.
Yep, he had a good race.
So, so we kicked it off on Sunday, 20 laps before the rain hit, and we had the president of the United States there, James. We talked about that last week that Mr. Trump was going to be there. You and I may have differing opinions on this a little bit. I
think we're on the same page. You might be surprised by that, but I think we're on the same page.
I thought it was pretty cool. I think which Fox did a terrible job of showing it, but the gentleman start your engines with the flyover over top of them was just, it was awesome. I mean, it was cheesy, but you expect it to be cheesy when the president is part of the opening ceremonies. And especially when the president is Donald Trump, but in pacing the field with the secret the presidential limos was neat. The fact that he radioed to the drivers and wished them good luck, I thought it was cool. And by the sounds of the drivers, he was very gracious meeting people and stuff before the race. Clint Bowyer had good things to say. And I don't know. Again,
is Trump's approval rating ever higher than when he's standing in the middle of a NASCAR infield?
Probably not. That's
like right in his wheelhouse. And like 99% approval rating.
You know Trump's not going to come to the Daytona 500 unless it's an election year. But regardless of political stance whatsoever, I thought it was neat. Anytime the president can be at the track, it brings this extra attention. I thought there was this excitement, James, around this year's Daytona 500.
Well, the Air Force One flyover is probably one of the coolest things ever. Like, but taking Air Force One to fly over the track was
definitely pretty sweet. But I mean, didn't you feel like this was special? Like, didn't it feel like mid-2000s to you? Not because of Trump, but didn't the excitement around this race this year feel like mid-2000s to you? Like, you know, they were sold out. There was a good crowd. Hell, there was even a good crowd on Monday with the race being so late in the afternoon. I think we lost a lot by the race getting rained out.
But, yeah, we did. I wish we could have got it in on Sunday.
But the excitement on Sunday just felt like almost a little bit like old NASCAR. And it just, I said it last year and I still feel it this year. I feel like we're on an upswing. I think things are improving. The fan base is improving. I think, you know, things are doing really well right now. It's just good. It was a good feeling, I guess.
Yeah. The ratings still kick the crap out of the Indy 500 every year.
Which is crazy. Yeah. Monday night's ratings is still better than the Indy 500. So
yeah.
Indy 500 draws a big crowd, but nobody goes there to watch the race. They go there for the party.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah, I didn't. Oh man, I don't want to be the poo-pooer on that because it's a really good take. It's a really good take by you. I didn't feel that way.
Maybe it's just because it's the new season starting, and I was excited.
Maybe,
but, man, it felt special.
Yeah,
and then it rained.
It definitely felt. It definitely felt like it was the biggest 500, maybe, and maybe to me since I went down there in 2013, because that to me was my pinnacle of the Daytona 500.
Right.
Personally. But yeah, it definitely had a nice little pop to it.
It just felt like something big was going to happen, and of course, then the Newman things happened. Yeah, it's like, oh my god.
Yeah. 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 I wish we could have gotten in on Sunday. That definitely put a damper on it, but nonetheless. Still, it was still a great Sunday. A great Sunday. Still exciting.
NASCAR did everything they could. They had the track dry like three times.
Those showers, there was nothing they could do. Just kept getting slammed by those pop-up showers.
Yep.
Nothing you can do about that.
Yep. Anything else for the 500?
Man, I can't believe we're putting the 500 behind us. But
I know. I think we've pretty much hit on it. I mean, obviously the big story is the Newman thing.
Yeah.
Again, we talked about it. It's the longest one in history. We've already done the winners and losers. I think that pretty much covers it.
I think we're off. Yeah. Off to the next thing, man.
Did we talk about the fact that Daniel Suarez missed the field?
We didn't know. We didn't.
No. So, I mean, Daniel Suarez missed the field. That's a big deal.
Yeah. He's going to have a long year in that car.
He is.
It's going to be a rough year. But, you know, what the good thing is there's not going to be that many cars showing up. Week in and week out, and he'll get to race at Vegas, and he'll be fine.
I was kind of surprised they didn't try and buy a ride.
I don't know if they can. Yeah, well, you would think Toyota could, but there's no other Toyota.
It's what they did in the Xfinity series for Ross Chastain.
Yeah, there's no other Toyota. Yeah, that's weird. That was strange. There's no other Toyotas for him to buy into, though. I don't think Toyota wants him driving anything else either. So
that's true.
Yeah.
All right. We had other racing this weekend. I wanted to touch on them really quick. Not a whole ton to talk about. Speaking of, you know, cars getting airborne, things like that. One series where they've done some amazing things with aero to keep the vehicles on the track is the truck series. When they added all those, you know, flaps and stuff on the backs of the trucks at Talladega a few years ago, those things don't lift at all anymore. Unless, of course, they get turned right. In which case, there's not enough suspension on the left side of the car, and they go over. And so we had a flip in the truck series race, first one in a while. Mm-hmm. But the finish of that race, just spectacular. Jordan Anderson comes within inches of, first of all, it was the biggest race of his career, biggest finish of his career, just second place he was so excited about. But to almost win the Daytona truck race was amazing.
If he doesn't make contact there, I think he wins it.
Yeah. Enfinger definitely hit him and pulled him back, and that was the difference. Otherwise, Anderson had that thing. He
it
timed
was,
it
kudos
perfectly.
Kudos to Enfinger to get that, to make that move. It was a really smart move. Drugged Anderson, kind of dragged Anderson back. I was pulling for Jordan.
Yep.
But just couldn't quite get there. Man, that would have been huge. What an upset if he would have been able to pull it off.
So Grant Enfinger locks himself into the truck playoffs, which everybody's locked into anyway.
You should mention with the truck race, Natalie Decker.
Yeah. Yeah. She finished
top five.
Yeah. She actually, they played some spotter audio and stuff after the race, and she did a good job. You know, she did what she needed to do. And, you know, I feel
we give her a hard time on the podcast, but
some of the things that I was hearing in her talking, I heard her do an interview and I don't remember where it was, but I think last year she was really trying to live up to expectations and not, you know, not accepting where she was, I guess. I think she's got a different attitude this year. I think we'll see better things out of her. I don't think she's going to go out and light the world on fire.
Yeah, I think she got humbled a little bit.
Yeah, and so I think maybe it was a good season for her last year to get some of that. Is she running for Nice Motorsports all year?
It's part time. Okay. She's a part time driver. Yeah, okay. She'll be a part time driver.
I know she's running for Nice this weekend at Las Vegas. So
yep, she's only running. She's not running a full schedule.
Okay, well, that's a good truck to be in. Hopefully, she gets the experience she needs. And you know, we've definitely criticized her enough on this podcast, but I always hope good things for her.
We give her a hard time.
But yeah, she did good. She held on to it. She had the wreck in the ARCA race last week, but that wasn't her fault.
Yeah.
So good on her.
Yeah, not bad.
The Xfinity race, Noah Gregson gets his first NASCAR Xfinity Series victory. The caution was thrown on the last lap due to a wreck on the back stretch, and Gregson's able to hold on and get the win.
He celebrated like it was going out of style, man.
I didn't watch it because I was watching the race delayed and I switched over to Supercross. But I did see Junior, I guess. So Noah, here's my weekly Dale Jr. podcast plug. Listen to Dale Jr.'s podcast. Gregson was on there and they talked a lot about Junior kind of telling him to, you know, savor it and enjoy it and whatever. And he was happy with the fact that Gregson definitely.
He's going to win a lot of races. So he might have to adjust his his style just a tad.
It was really interesting to hear Junior talk about, though. He and Gregson reached out to him before the race and Junior explained to him how to draft and how to side draft and what to do and everything. And Noah put a lot of that win on Dale Jr. and what he taught him. And it was just, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, I know Dale Jr. is retired now and he's one of the veterans of the sport and blah, blah, blah. But Junior's still the kid to me. He's still, you know, he's not the teacher. He's not the veteran, you know, leader in my mind that some of these drivers are. And to hear him, you know, impart some wisdom on this young kid that is driving for him and help him win the race. I thought that was pretty neat. It was just a neat side of Junior that I guess we don't always get to see.
Did you hear his commentary about how it's getting harder for him to be retired?
I did not, but I saw a story about it.
Yeah, he said that the itch is getting worse.
Huh.
So I wonder if he'll be doing something.
Go around
soon.
The truck series, man.
Yeah, but he's got the problem with Dale Jr. is he's got the head injury history, and I don't know if he wants to race that much.
Yeah, maybe he just needs to go run a late model somewhere.
Go ahead and drive a cup car from time to time, man. Yep. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. I mean, I'm sure you had enough trouble finding a ride for a weekend. Yeah.
Cumberland Martinsville.
Yeah, just run the short tracks.
He owns his own team.
Right.
Get in there.
Yeah.
Build a That's cup all car. I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's okay. It's okay to come race again.
Right. I thought both the Xfinity and Truck Series races were good races as well. I think overall good weekend at Daytona.
Yeah, the worst race of the weekend was, or the whole week was the Clash.
Yeah.
It was I thought the Clash was terrible.
Yeah, the Clash was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, we put Daytona in the rearview mirror.
Wow.
I know. And then the real season starts this weekend as we go to the West Coast.
Yeah, now the season can begin.
Yep. We go to the West Coast. West Coast swing starts a little early this year. I did notice that the forecast for Atlanta is terrible this weekend, so good thing we're not going there like normal.
Yeah.
Las Vegas Motor Speedway this weekend, the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. You got the Truck Series in action as the Xfinity Series. I think the Xfinity Series is in action too, aren't they?
Yeah, I think the whole. I think that's probably part of the reason why Ross Chastain is being able to drive that six car.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So he's going to be out there anyways. So.
Yep. So, all right. Let's see some fast facts about the Pennzoil 400. This is the 25th race at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Who won the first cup race at Las Vegas, James?
That would be Mark, the kid Mark.
You've got it in front of you, don't you?
No, I don't.
I'm impressed.
1997, Mark Martin.
Very 98. Good try, though. let's see. Kyle Busch is the only driver to win from the pole. He did it in 2009. That is his only win at Las Vegas. One of the few tracks that Kyle has only one win on. Another one is Daytona, by the way. Let's see. Anything else interesting here? Worst starting spot for a race winner was 25th by Matt Kenseth in 2004. Jeff Gordon led the most laps there in 2010 with 219 laps led. And the fewest laps led by a race winner was Jimmy Johnson in 2006.
Johnson's got a pile of wins at Vegas, yes. As he does everywhere he goes.
Vegas native Kurt Busch has the track record for qualifying at 196.328 miles per hour in 2016. 2007 had the most lead changes with 28, and the closest finish in history at Las Vegas Motor Speedway was Jimmy Johnson's 0.45 second margin over Matt Kenseth in 2006. Most caution flags, 14 in 2009. There.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Thanks, Racing Reference, for all those stats. With that, we get to make our picks for Las Vegas. I wanted to go over. I promised last week that we're going to keep track of these. I'm going to throw one more caveat in here, and I'm going to do this because neither of us won this week. So the way I'm doing this is whoever finishes ahead of who gets a point. And this goes for we get the regular pick and the dark horse pick. And my added caveat here is that if one of us wins, if one of our drivers wins the race, that we get 2 points for a win.
Oh, 2 point bonus.
Yeah.
Oh boy. So oh man.
Keep it easy. But if I think we should get a little extra if we win the race.
I like that. Yeah. That's good.
So
yeah, we get playoff points.
Yeah. Exactly. So on that point, James won both last weekend. He picked Eric Jones as his regular pick. I had Kyle Busch. Eric Jones finished 18th. Kyle Busch finished 34th. And then Dark Horse, I had Brendan Gaughan, which is a great pick, 7th place finish, but James picked David Reagan, who finished 4th. So James is up 2-0 on me after one race.
Solid start.
And on that note, I get to make the first pick this weekend, and I don't even know because I haven't even looked yet to see who I want to pick. I am going to... Ah, crap. Do I go easy or do I go...
I love that we're back to doing this again.
I know, right?
Yeah, you can hit 30 seconds twice in the podcast app, and then we'll finally have our picks ready.
Right. So I'm going to go with momentum, and I'm going to say the guy that got second place this past weekend gets the win. Go Ryan Blaney.
YRB.
Yep, Ryan Blaney is my pick. And he does not have a win here, so it's kind of going out on a limb a little bit, but he does have the second best average finish.
Yeah, okay. So the thing with the NASCAR West Coast swing is you got what you got, right?
Right.
You take what you got, and you're not going back to Charlotte to make any big changes.
Right.
With that being said, I wanted to take Joe Lowe. He's the best average finish guy there. He's going to win. However, I'm going to go with the previous race's champion, and it's kind of going on a little bit on a limb because Cole Pearn's not around anymore, but I'm going to take Martin Truex Jr.
That's a good pick.
Since he won most recently in the fall.
He also has two wins there.
Yeah, and he's good there. He's good. Yeah. I'm going to go with Martin Truex just because I like the, you know, he's probably got what he's got, right? We were just there not that long ago during the playoffs. So hopefully, hopefully that can transition and he'll get the win.
That's a pretty good pick. I like that.
Yeah.
Dark Horse. You get to go Dark Horse first, James.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Dark Horse. I will take... Boy, we don't have a whole lot of them.
I think all the rookies are dark horses.
Yeah, we can call the rookies dark horses, I guess. Yeah, Christopher Bell would be on that list. Yeah,
he would be.
I would take Christopher Bell, but I will take Matt DiBenedetto.
Okay.
He still qualifies as a dark horse. I think he does.
Yeah, he does. And once he gets a win, he's going to be off this list. But
yes, off the dark horse list, but yes.
I think he definitely still counts. I'm going to go with a bounce back guy. He doesn't have the greatest average finish here, but I think William Byron can still be a dark horse, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. I'm going William Byron as my dark horse pick this week.
My guy I picked to make the Final Four.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. He does still count though. He does not have a win. So yep. William Byron can still be put on the dark horse list. So yes.
So if you're,
I would like to do a big reach on my dark horse from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you remember correctly, this was a race we were all excited about last year because this was the first race with the new aero package, the full new aero package. Didn't really live up to expectations, what we were kind of hoping to get, but I think we'll have a good race this weekend. Vegas has been decent other than the past couple years, so I'm excited about it.
Right on.
Fantasy League. Let's talk Fantasy League, James.
Yeah, Eric got the win over me, if you want to count that. A win is a win, right? So
yep, third place.
Take it. But Denny the Many, a new addition to the league, 163. He was our winner. Toyota Fan 60 in second, another new addition. So we got two new ringers coming in, knocking us off the pedestal. Then Eric, Freight Train, myself, Ranger Runyon, and our good friend Baron Speedway is on the league as well.
Yep.
And then Justin 713. We have two people who did not score any points, Hurricane Ditka and Scoters. But you guys are still in the league. So if you're listening, make your picks, and I'll make sure to keep you. You're not out of it by any means.
Right.
You have plenty of time to join up. But
based on James and I's history, you'll probably still beat us.
We'll be coming
back.
We'll be coming back towards you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Coming back. So that's our current standings. So after one race, that's it.
Yeah.
Fantasy League. Yeah.
There we go. Nice and easy. James, what do you got for shout outs this week?
I have two of them actually.
Okay.
One really quick one. I have a buddy of mine. He is not a NASCAR fan at all, but he likes to gamble. So he was asking me who to pick for the Daytona 500. So I gave him three picks and then I said, I'll give you one dark horse. And I said, the dark horse, if you can bet that he's in the top 10. So my three picks were Brad Keselowski, which was a fail.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked Ryan Blaney.
Nice.
Denny Hamlin.
Nice.
And Brendan Gaughan.
Nice.
I think I would have put them in my fantasy league. Nope. So I want to shout out myself for being a fool. And then, but I think he did well in his gambling picks. So that's good. And then I came across, so Jalopnik, I read from time to time. I'm not an avid reader of Jalopnik, but they have this thing called Marbula One.
Uh-huh.
Eric, did you get a chance to watch the videos and the link that I put in the show
notes? No, I didn't click on it at all.
So the link's in the show notes. So basically this guy created these Formula One tracks and he races marbles and it is actually entertaining. It's actually really entertaining. I don't want to get too much in. I want people to go watch the videos. He does qualifying for each of the marbles and they are timed. And then he has a full race and has a full rundown. And then he has, as the marbles come to the finish line, he has a GoPro camera set up at the finish line to watch the, to watch the marble cross the line. It's actually hilarious and really well done all at the same time. And I feel like this is the destiny of Baron Speedway.
Huh.
So hopefully he can use it as motivation for the evolution of the track. But anyway, it's in the show notes. It's pretty hilarious. I just wanted to share that.
That's funny. My shout out this week, I just wanted to shout out the NASCAR media on the whole Ryan Newman situation. It was frustrating as heck being a race fan, trying to get information on Monday night, because obviously we all wanted to know what was going on, but the NASCAR media, the beat media, they covered it with such grace, no rumors, no speculation, nothing, just waited for the official announcement to get the word out there. They were at the hospital, they were at the track, they were doing everything they needed to do, but didn't report anything before they knew it was factual. And just big applause to them. I know how tough it is in this industry to You know, I'm a journalist. I know how tough it is to be first, and you want to be first. And whoever was first on this would have gotten tons of views and tons of clicks and tons of programmatic revenue and have been just a great thing for them. But none of them pulled that trigger. There were a couple non-NASCAR media sources that had some rumors floating around. But for the most part, everybody really behaved and handled it very well. Stuck it out at the track until the announcement was made. It was a late weekend already, and even later with that, and just great job to everybody for this whole situation. I know some of these guys now, and I thought everybody handled it great. And it,
well said.
Good well to see said. It. And again, there's so much speculation in this day and age. It's nice to not have that.
I was gonna. I want to add to your point, because being a fan of something on in the Twitter age is so. Such a mental grind,
right?
That you're constantly refreshing, because we're so used to having things instantaneously that we can't, our brains have evolved to the point where we don't even know what to do while we're waiting for this information anymore.
Right.
However, you are correct that the media was fantastic. They did a great job, waited it out. In light of the whole Kobe Bryant fiasco with that, watching that whole thing happen on Twitter.
Right.
This was the complete opposite. This was complete professionalism. The core group that we know, who we follow every week, they were fantastic. It was so, so well done.
Yeah. I wanted to applaud SiriusXM as well. They were the only media source that was still broadcasting live from the track. During this whole situation, they did a great job with it as well. I'm trying to think who it is that is on in the evenings. Is it Brad Gilley that's on with Claire
usually
B,
Claire B? Yeah, usually Claire B is the host, but I haven't listened.
Yeah,
to...
I think Brad Gilley hosts and Claire B is the at the track person. I don't remember exactly, but they did a great job. There was a lot of disappointment because everybody was waiting for NBC to come on the air with NASCAR America, but they preempted the show because of the cancellation on Sunday. And Fox, despite the fact that they had they were replaying the Daytona 500 on one of their channels, their cable channels, did not cut in with updates until the final update. So I applaud SiriusXM. I mean, they were scheduled to be on the air, but they also mentioned that if they didn't have word yet, they would stay on the air longer. And it's easy for them. It's their own channel. They can do whatever they want with it. But still, good for them to, again, it was a long weekend. These guys were there. An entire day longer than they expected to be. And they're heading to Vegas this weekend. And, I know what kind of work Claire B does and how crazy she is at the track. She's everywhere. And the woman doesn't stop. Love her or hate her, she's just spectacular. And just, the hours they put in to make sure that the fans were updated, even with no updates, was really good. So, we got to see a lot of good in this whole situation, and thank goodness that Newman's okay. And, for the most part, and looks like he's going to recover, and in the end, everything's going to be good out of it. So that's good.
Yep, absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself, man.
All right. With that, we go to Las Vegas this weekend. James, where can they find you on social media if they want to chat with you during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You'll find the show notes on there, links to all the articles we talk about, coverage of past races, some photos, etc. Check it out, thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud, wherever you found us today. We hope you click the subscribe button, continue to listen. And if you want to help out the show, become a part of the show, you can become a patron at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. Las Vegas Motor Speedway this weekend. The regular season starts finally. Get off the, I guess they're not restricted plate tracks anymore. I guess they're actually legit same aero package, but they're still super speedways. So we go to the mile and a half this weekend, Las Vegas Motor Speedway, all three series in action. And we'll be back next week to discuss it all. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.